Say big at Menards and keep cool in the summer heat with a new window air conditioner from Denali Air. Quickly and efficiently cool your spaces with auto and eco modes to maximize performance and save on energy costs. Featuring 3 fan cooling speeds and a remote control, allowing you to cool your space from anywhere in the room. Save big money on Denali Air. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. This podcast is in no way affiliated with the Stars production or Diana Gabaldon. All views expressed are solely our own.
Welcome to the Outlander podcast,
where the men are kilted, the women are winsome,
and the whiskey is neat. Welcome to episode 308 of the Outlander podcast. I'm Ginger.
And I'm Summer, and we are in love with all things Outlander. And now, on to our read-along. This week, we are continuing our The Fiery Cross read-along, beginning part 5, entitled "'Tis Better to Marry Than Burn," which is technically the theme of the next chapter, chapter 39, entitled "'In Cupid's Grove.'"
So Claire's wondering if Jocasta and Duncan Innes, just put it straight, Claire's not the only one. This is like the topic of the celebration. And they're not even married yet. And everyone and their donkey's mom is talking about this topic, and that is, are Jocasta and Duncan going to share a bed that night and any night?
People are so nosy. Nosy.
This is their wedding day.
It's their second wedding day, because they did try to get married at the gathering, but got kicked away. I know, but they attempted.
It's their first attempt at a wedding day. So Claire has not seen Duncan. Where is he? Like, no one has seen Duncan. Jamie is there in the beginning before he takes off. So he is there in the beginning because this man, Ninian, talks to him. He says, "Your aunt's a handsome woman, Fraser, but she could freeze the bollocks off a king of Japan. And she wanted to," unquote. So that's funny. Whatever's going on, Duncan's feeling it. Quote, "He's been to the necessary house 4 times, unquote, that morning. Claire's all, huh? Duncan's usually well plugged. So
that doesn't sound good. Well, I'm like, well plugged.
Stopped up.
I don't know. It sounds naughty.
I mean, if you take it that way.
I always do.
Erica B. That is true. Erica B. writes, "Jocasta and Duncan are finally going to get married. Yay! I sincerely hope, considering the length of the chapter, it doesn't compete with the longest day of the whole first section." Don't worry, it won't. "It is indeed interesting that all the key men at some point seem to be missing." That's true. So it's March and spring has sprung. Jamie has a word with Ninian in Gaelic and Claire gets it, but hides her reaction behind her fan. So they're speaking Gaelic, kind of being, I don't think trash, but crass, I guess is the better term. And they're talking about the whole thing. I mean, it starts with, "I wonder if they're going to share a bed," and goes to, "Your aunt could, you know, freeze the balls off a king of Japan." I mean, it just goes down from there. We're led to believe anyway.
She maybe could, but she'd need assistance. And that would be a really awkward thing to ask Ulysses to help with.
Freezing someone's balls?
"I require your assistance to freeze his balls off." She couldn't freeze anyone's balls off. She can't see them.
It doesn't matter what she sees. It's the looks she gives. And I guess how haughty she is.
But she's not looking in the right places. Come on, think about it. When you don't have sight, you can't level your gaze always in the right spot, which is what gave her away in the first place to Claire.
I gotta say, with Claire, I mean, she needs it because she's the whole glass face and everything. I wish fans, the handheld type, would come back. Like, for real, come back. They kind of have.
I mean, I did just get one. I just got one at Comic-Con.
You bought it or you someone for free?
Yes, as a swag from the FX installation. It said Pose on it for their Pose show.
Some lovely lady, and I'm so sorry if you guys are listening. If you are listening, I have forgotten your name, but I believe it was the woman or one of the women with Cats and Quilts, or sorry, not Cats and Quilts, the Outlander charity quilt. And then a name on the tip of my tongue. I don't want to say it, I don't want to get it wrong, but she was, we were at the, when we went to the Pleasanton Games, and she showed me the beautiful quilt. It was hot as balls, not as balls as, not as balls, not as hot as the balls of 2017, but it was probably 95, 96. It was still hot enough. And so I was like sweating my off. And I knew I was going to have to, I was, my plan was to stay there, do a little video and say hi and, you know, show people, fans online around the world, what we do for the setup, what NorCal and others do for these games, especially. And one of the ladies who was showing us the quilt was nice enough. Like, I was 2 years ago when it was 113, I actually bought a, like, you know, those wicker woven baskets that are, I believe, made in Africa.
I got one of those. And then I got a fan when we went for the year the Graham was there. Because it was so hot.
Oh, so maybe it wasn't 2017. Not, wasn't that the year Graham was there? Did you go with me?
It was the year Graham was there. It was like 115 degrees in Pleasanton.
That year, yeah. You and I both got those like large hand stiff fans, right?
Yeah. I don't know where it is. I'm sure it's in my daughter's room.
I have
somewhere.
Mine. It's now in the bathroom so I can dry my face off like in between like moisturizer and washing my face and moisturizer. Yes.
Okay.
Everything. When you have 87 layers of things, yes, you need a fan. So I meant I should have brought it, but I didn't think about it. And once I was there, I was like, oh my God, I could use a fan. I'm sweating my off. So this lady was so nice. She's like, here, take mine. And it was just like, you know, like the hand type that you just, that you can like whip open. Not like ours, but the actual one we're used to, but that you're used to seeing. So it was very kind of her. So I actually do have a fan and it's pink and it's pretty. And I was like, oh, you know, it's a lot easier to like throw in a purse or a bag than the big one, although the big one's flat anyway. So I do have a fan, but I wish fans would come back. I just think for the purpose of actually using it because you're warm, but also to like, you know, cover your face and maybe flirt a little bit. I don't know.
Really? Do you really think Summer? You would do that? Like right now, today, if you had a fan and you were out in an outdoor gathering, would you really use it to flirt? Honestly. Honestly,
ask me when I'm outside at a gathering.
I will bring a fan, and the next time we're at a gathering, I'm gonna be like, "All right, okay. Who are you gonna flirt with that fan?
So
let's do this."
I think they can be cool accessories, and they also have a real function. Bree and Roger and Jem are at this supposed wedding day as well, and Jamie's all tarted up, as is Duncan, and by that I don't mean like makeup. I mean, of course, all kilted up with all the colors and bright everything. Erica B. writes, quote, sex was in the air. I could smell it under the heady fragrances of spring flowers and cooking food.
Everyone could smell it.
Dear Lord, that's quite the smell to imagine. Everyone there is feeling frisky, it seems. Claire assumes babies will be made, but I'm curious if we find out the results later in the book.
I mean, everyone should assume babies will be made. It's a wedding. That's what they're for, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're just supposed to convince everyone that it's time to do it.
Abel McLennan was also there. Now, do you remember him some? Did you remember him after a little while? Or but when you first heard the name or read the name again, did you say, oh, I know where that dude's from?
Nope.
Nope. Okay. He was the dude at the gathering who was part of the Hillsborough riots-ish.
Ah, okay.
And he was the one who Claire, Jamie, and all of them felt so sorry for. Because before he went and took part in those riots, he lost his child or children to some kind of illness, and then his wife died, and not even just his wife died, but they were like put out of their home because they couldn't afford the rent, or the rent was raised, or whatever it was. So that dude was like on like worse than Skid Row. He didn't even have a row. Like Skid was not even a sku. So he was in a bad situation, very depressed, like, you know, all of it. And here he was at the gathering, like basically just waiting for someone to come take him away to jail. Well, they did. But he was one of Jamie's friends had interceded and had a friend of his do a solid for him. So McLennan went to jail, but he was fished out due to the machinations of Jamie and Jamie's friend. Seeing him, though, seeing McLennan had brought Claire back to the days after Culloden. After she had left and, you know, gone through the stones, gone back home, she knew what it was like to have deadness of the heart. That's what McLennan looked better, like he was better fed and he was in better situation, but he still looked like emotionally dead. And this is actually where I quoted Diana, which is after Erica did. Yes, I wrote sex was in the air. I could smell it, like, oh, fun times. That's wonderful.
Okay. Do you want to hear my brief story about somebody telling me that they knew what sex smells like?
Oh, no. Was this person under 18?
No, we were all in college.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, so when I was in college, we were all in New York City at a performing arts academy. And there was a guy that went to school with us who everyone thought was just a little bit off. And shortly after this experience happened, he went home for undisclosed reasons. We found out later he had a mental break. But before that moment, and this should have probably been a clue for everyone, he approached a girl who was sitting in one of the like hallway breezeways of our academy, who was, you know, studying her stuff for class. And he said to her, "I know what sex smells like." And she said, "Oh?" And he goes, "Yeah, it smells like hay." And then he walked away. And that became the story that was passed around the entire school because we were all like, "It smells like hay? Hey, hey, sex smells like hay." Like it is something that has like shaped my entire existence since then, because every time I am part of a sexual experience or I enter a room where maybe a sexual thing may have happened, I secretly go, "Does this smell like hay?" It's never smelled like hay, but I always kind of wonder why he thought it smelled like hay.
Maybe he grew up on a farm
that was full of sexy things and hay. Maybe.
No, but animals do it outside.
I guess, but hay.
But I got to say, if there's ever a smell, and I can't say that I do know what it smells like, and I'm not going to get into that. That's all I'm going to say. But if it truly, truly did smell like hay, like, that's awesome.
Really?
Hay? Fresh hay?
No one said it was fresh. They just said hay.
I'm thinking of alfalfa. That's that really nice
smelling. No, alfalfa's totes different. But here's the thing.
Okay, never mind. I think it smells like alfalfa.
I promise it doesn't. But that being said, you hope it smells like alfalfa because alfalfa smells like clean and fresh and all the things.
Not fruity, but almost sweet.
But depending upon the people involved, sex may be a very filthy, stinky, smelly thing.
Okay. And Claire is looking for the J.
As you do. The J. Is that like the D only?
Stop it. You took my line. I was about to say, looking for the J so she can find the D.
Mm-hmm. I'm just kidding.
Come on to you. Looking for Jamie. And now think, so even though, yes, he was there in the beginning during that conversation with Ninian, talking about Duncan and Jocasta bedding each other or not or whatever. Yes, Jamie takes off pretty early and she thinks he might be looking for Duncan. Who knows? But she doesn't know where he is. And yes, she spends the majority of the chapter after that point looking for him. So she's still looking for him. And now she thinks that she knows why he disappeared. Up come Farquhar Campbell and Lieutenant Wolf, Blurg, with another person that she doesn't recognize. Now Campbell introduces him, this man she doesn't recognize, as Major Donald MacDonald. And he shows
worst
her
he's a name ever.
He shows her he's a true Scot by beginning the whole, quote, Scottish spider web. Now, this chat about relations until they had made enough connections, placing themselves within a network or the network of Scottish clans, families, relations, etc. So I wonder if part of the reason that this was so tiresome to Claire was not just the fact that she's from the 20th century where this was not, I mean, to some degree, it may have been done in the 20th century. I'm not saying it was or wasn't, but Claire was not brought up in Scotland, right? She was brought up, mostly for some part in England, but she was actually brought up by her uncle all over the world. So Claire not only comes from a different time, she grew up with a very small family, not much extended family to speak of. So she's not anti-network or anti-family. She has absolutely nothing to compare this to. Number one, the time she was brought up, and how and where, but also the number of family members she grew up with, she was surrounded with, at the most was two or three at any one time. This is just me, Ginger, wondering if part of the reason this was so tiresome for her was because of that. It serves a function for Scots, especially Scots who, you know, once their homeland is kind of... But yeah, so even knowing a bit about the old fox, thanks to Sarah Fraser's book, it is still, I'm Ginger, I'm not even Claire, but it's still hard to sit through this kind of thing for the 1100th time, talking about Simon and everybody.
But you also have to understand that if he is an instrument of the crown and he's asking questions about that, those are pointed questions. And those could lead places that could be detrimental for all concerned. So I'd be super hesitant to admit to any of those things. And she was not using her fan because she was blurting truth out.
Erica B. writes, I kind of love the idea of Jocasta inviting Farquhar Campbell to her wedding as a way to stick it to him.
Well, yeah.
To get him to leave her be. Using the Mackenzie skills for good for once. Well, at least not for horribly.
To her own
entertainment?
No, it's not even entertainment. I mean, it was...
It sure is.
I mean, I would have found it completely entertaining, but it also had a purpose, to her own purpose. So it benefited her, and it was also entertaining. So rubbing it in his face while also proving to him that she found somebody else that she would prefer.
Roger appears.
Welcome, Roger.
And Claire sees him, and the Major and Claire continue their chat. He asks her about factionalism. This was a code word for regulators. And she tries to steer the conversation away from that. And then there's a skirmish. There's like a fight breaks out. It's mostly talking, and then it turns into a fight. Someone gets kicked in the buttocks. And so that it's like chat, chat, chat. It's not a chat. It's like an argument. And then someone turns around, and the one who turns around gets kicked in the butt and falls down. And he gets up. He's totally like, embarrassed, yes, but he's humiliated. And he turns around, and then they start to fight. And then all their friends on both sides try to go help and jump on. It turns into a brawl.
But can we speak to why you chose to say buttocks? Because I found it humorous and entertaining.
No, just I wanted to.
And wrong.
And wrong?
I enjoy it. I'm just saying. I enjoyed it, but I had questions.
I'm having fun. They get it on, but not in a D man in a D manner. They get it on with the whole stramash.
Is it?
Look, it's the chapter. It's not me. And then it's a pile on. And Claire's like, I gotta do something. And then the Major, the Donald MacDonald of the famous, wonderful name, takes his pistol, which is all loaded, hello, and shoots into the air. And success. The brawl stops.
This sounds like the worst pornography ever.
What?
He takes his loaded pistol, shoots it into the air. I mean, this could all be euphemisms for like a really bad porn.
Oh my goodness.
Erica all of it. B. Everything you've said.
Right. I suppose it wouldn't be a wedding if here... wasn't a squabble of if there weren't a squabble of some sort. All good weddings have at least one, maybe in some hidden recess of the venue, but this squabble really changes my perception on that. These guys just full out brawl on the lawn at a wedding, and the Major blasts his gun to get it to stop, like, nothing to see here, carry on. And then Herman husband can't help but word vomit to Barlow. I mean, don't these people have better manners than to upstage the festivities? I'd be pissed if this happened at my wedding.
You're not a 1700 Scot.
Or a Quaker.
Lacking in television entertainment.
That is true.
This is it. This is their entertainment. They're going to walk away from this and be like, I don't have to see these people for another 6 months.
Forever.
Or a year. Or 5 years. I can do what I want. I will walk away from this with virtual anonymity.
MacDonald gets into the subject of the regulators. As I said earlier, he kind of gets back into it and Tryon's intimacy with Jamie. He basically lets it be known that he wants an intro to Tryon from Jamie.
As you do.
Erica B. writes, at the end of the section, we learn from James Hunter that there is a regulator meeting happening. You think this was supposed to be a secret? I don't know.
At the wedding?
The regulator meeting.
At the wedding.
Oh, at the wedding. I don't know. I don't think he means at the wedding. He might.
Okay.
I think he means in general the regulators are going to meet. But I don't know. It could be there. I don't know. You think this was supposed to be a secret? I don't know. I wonder what Jamie is going to do with the information once he hears it.
If he hears it, he's disappeared. No one can find him.
He's gone. Poof. Exactly. He's Jamie's gone and took his D.
Stop it. Stop it. I'm disagreeing with your choices in pronunciation.
Then Herman husband says toodaloo to Claire. They chat a tiny bit and he leaves. And Herman husband says goodbye. He leaves. And as he leaves, James Hunter tells Claire that the regulators are gathering near Salisbury. And maybe you might want to tell Jamie. Erica B. writes, at the end of the section, we learned from James Hunter that there was a regulator meeting happening. You think this was supposed to be a secret? I don't know. I wonder what Jamie's going to do with the information once he hears about it.
Wah, wah, wah.
And then, ugh, yuck. Philip Wiley appears.
But he brought Frisians, so he's forgiven.
He asks Claire for a dance, and she's like, no. And my favorite line of most of the books, not as in romantical or like inspiring, but hysterically like awesome comeback, whatever. She says, go away, child. Shoo. I love it. The dandy, which he's a dandy, had become a macaroni with cheese, he said. Now, that made me remember or think of Yankee Doodle, right? So Yankee Doodle went to town riding on a pony, stuck a feather in his cap and called it macaroni.
Okay, look.
Isn't
look.
There? Oh.
He went to London, bitch. Don't.
Hold on. Yankee Doodle, keep it up. Yankee Doodle, dandy. So yeah.
He
so
is a
this
dandy,
is
but
together.
It was Yankee Doodle yes. went to London riding on a pony.
Are you
That's how
me?
I recall it.
I've never heard that in my life.
Let me see. Maybe I'm wrong. If
That's
I'm wrong, please
syllables.
Delete all. Hey. If I'm wrong, please delete this.
No.
Yes, please.
No.
I'm Googling it right now. If
it's
I'm wrong,
hysterical.
Please delete it. No,
if
delete
I'm
it
wrong,
if I'm wrong.
If I'm wrong, I'm leaving it.
Look. I'm pretty sure I'm wrong because Yankee Doodle was a very American thing and my hearing in my head of London has to be wrong. So I'm gonna need you. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you, Ginger, to delete that egregious thing that I just said out loud. I'm not even going to finish looking it up because I'm positive I'm wrong. So please do the deletion I've requested. And if
Hold
you
on.
Don't, I'll know. I will know.
Of course you'll know because you don't listen, but you might listen next time or a few times from now. Here's the thing. You straight up called me a bitch for getting it wrong.
I know, which is why I want you to delete it. Because if I'm wrong and I called you a bitch, it definitely needs to go away. If I was
no,
right and I called
it.
You a bitch, leave it. You're... No. If I'm wrong, please delete it. Hang on.
This is
okay, I'm looking it up. Just like, hang on. No, just wait. Hang on. I see town. So I need you to delete it.
Look, bitch.
Just delete it. Delete it, please. Please.
Okay.
I'm begging.
I will delete it, but it's going
to
be. An-
I want you to know that my whole body hurts because I have cramps in places that shouldn't cramp because I'm trying not to laugh right now.
You can laugh. It's okay.
Okay. Here's, delete, please.
I will, hold on a second. I will delete it from the episode.
Thank you.
But it's going up on Patreon.
Thank you.
No.
Clearly not gonna fuck you.
Oh,
you're my sister.
Yeah,
but also fuck you.
Claire gets away when she can. Then she ends up back with Wiley. Wiley takes her to see his treasures, of course, which are his gorgeous Frisians. And Jocasta is thinking of buying one of his mares.
Well, that's all they could buy because he only brought the stallion to show them the bloodline of what's impregnated the horses.
Erica B. writes, ew, Philip Wiley is a gross creeper. Poor Claire, having to deal with his gross behavior, he deserves a smack. She did have this great line. Though it's no wonder you had trouble. I expect you were blinded by the glare from your waistcoat. Unquote.
I mean... Philip Wiley as a character is
great.
Kind of like, ugh. And he's not awesome, right?
No, I mean, he'd be great
think
to
he
play.
Was being... Sure. I'm just saying, I don't think he was that gross. I felt like he showed up to this gathering with his horses and was trying to make some money. I didn't find that. He wasn't being as repulsive as he was the last time we met him.
That's true. It's almost like he's matured a little bit, even though we know he hasn't.
Well, it's almost like he's realized that those were waters, he couldn't bark up the tree. From trying. Yeah.
Erica B. continues. And by the sounds of his fanciful, gaudy, flamboyant outfit, he could use a session with the fellas from Queer Eye. Finally, Jay shows up with the D, but not the D of the day.
The D of the day? Can I get a shirt that says that?
The D of the day. That's the name of the episode. D of the day.
So he... Please do. I would love that. This is the first episode title you've run past me that I'm like 100% on board with.
You stop it. You liked introducing Shimmer and Toots. You liked a lot of them. You had your...
That was awesome too, but this is my favorite. D of the day.
He...
Because you had the D in it.
Jamie, had been looking for Duncan. In positive news, the priests arrived. So that's good. At least this time they are going to have a priest.
For sure.
So she sees, Claire sees Duncan's tartan, or what she thinks is Duncan's tartan, flash at a distance through the trees. And she knows, great. So with the priest and with Jocasta, and oh, we found Duncan, we're on our way to a wedding. So Jamie is musing on his love slash attraction for the sea. I mean, for Claire. I love this word. Quote, the mad collie shangy of her hair made him laugh. Unquote. I'd never read that. That's, I'm guessing, like a big old, just like kind of the mess of her hair. And then later, quote, ever since she had shown him the sperms, he had been uncomfortably aware of the crowded conditions that must now and then obtain in his balls.
Okay, full disclosure.
Unquote.
I have seen...
Balls?
No. And yes, I have, but I have seen... Calm down. That's not what I was referring to. No, stop talking. I have seen microscopic sperm. And at no time after seeing said sperm has it ever made me think about crowded conditions and balls and or wanting to do it. I don't think they're sexy.
Okay, fair enough in the second. But the first, you don't have a... You don't have a ball? You don't have balls, so...
I don't have balls, but that would never... As a lady, which I am.
That's what you think.
I would never consider... okay, as an ovary owner, as an owner of a uterus, having seen microscopic sperm twitching and doing their thing and being sperm... I don't ever, until it was mentioned in the book, consider the idea of them all being trapped inside of one ball sack. That's just me. So that being his like main focus, that makes him also think of like his thought process. I'm thinking of all of the backloaded sperm in my balls that haven't been released because I haven't had sex with my wife. One. Two, the fact that they're all backed up inside of my balls makes me think that I need to have sex with my wife to release more, which then makes me think I need to have sex with my wife and sex is fun. That is not the thought process I would have gone through having seen sperm in a microscope. Mostly I'm like, ooh, tadpoles. And then I would have been done.
So Summer has introduced you to her non-sperm thoughts.
Was that a non-sperm thought? Because I feel like it was a very spermy thought.
It was a very spermy thought. So, okay, spermy thoughts with Summer.
Welcome.
Shimmer. With Shimmer.
With Shimmer.
Snap. The dude they saw through the trees was not Duncan at all, but a red coat. As a matter of fact, it was McDonald. Donald McDonald, by the way. And he wants to chat with Jamie in private. What was the purpose? Before they walked... Well, I think they were walking as he said it, but before they got to a place where Jamie's like, okay, let's go chat in private. He's like, Stephen Bonnet. Okay, yeah, let's go.
That was the password. The password to the private conversation was Stephen Bonnet.
I think it's more like Stephen Bonnet.
No, the password is...
That's what I meant.
Stephen Bonnet.
That's what I did.
Sure, but I wanted to say it.
Okay, well, then you can do whatever you want. I'm just saying, don't tell me I didn't do it.
Well, because I didn't have the context when I heard you hear it. But when I said it, it was contextual.
I forgot the password part, but you're right. It is the password. So Jamie is blunt in attesting to his interest. He's like, yep, straight up. What McDonald knew was this. Third party, second party, whatever. So at a dinner party by a rich man, he was there. And someone said, quote, if one could but have a Stephen Bonnet in one's pocket, ... before this gentleman was elbowed into silence. So a Mr. Butler had had a recent increase in wealth. Now, this man, Mr. Butler, was not in attendance, though, but he lived in Edenton, as did Wiley. So MacDonald himself called Bonnet wicked. Now, Jamie understood that there might later be a price to pay for this knowledge that MacDonald was offering him. He said two men who played whist with him were with MacDonald were whist, excuse me, were whist, were Walter Priestley and Hosea Wright, friends of the governor. Both of these men had warehouses and in a number of cities. And Wright was a banker. The fact that MacDonald knew so much about Bonnet and his connections was a complication, one that could benefit different parties. So depending on how MacDonald decided to play it. So here he was giving Jamie basically first dibs, or as far as Jamie knew, right? Because who knows whom he's talked to before. But he couldn't afford to help at the moment. So meaning Jamie. Jamie didn't have he couldn't give him money. So and any man who could be bought once, meaning Donald or Jamie, Diana writes, that man was always for sale. So all that left, as far as tools for Jamie to use to get information, was blackmail. But he didn't have any goods on him yet. He just met this guy. He doesn't know anything that he could blackmail him for. And then Jamie asks how MacDonald knew that Jamie sought news of Bonnet. Wow. He tells him that he had heard it from half a dozen different sources. Jamie's interest in Bonnet is well known, alas, but not its reason. Now, earlier in this conversation, when he said, you're interested in Stephen Bonnet, da 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 da, and Jamie said, yes, he tried to kill me. Just a number of things, or I think it was three things. And the last one he said, and he raped my daughter. So that definitely doesn't change MacDonald's intent, right? His intent is to get some money or to get...
No, but it clarifies Jamie's intent.
Well, we know Jamie's intent is to kill Bonnet. There's no question.
We know, but it clarifies Jamie's intent for MacDonald.
Yes, for MacDonald, not just that he... Like, it tells him why he's interested. Why he's interested in what he wants to do, right? He wants to kill him, and the reason is because of this, this, and this, and the biggest one...
And they were... But to be fair... They were all pretty sh**. He stole from me, he killed my man, and he raped my daughter.
They're all bad. So Jamie is wondering, Jamie's like, well, I don't have, he's thinking to himself, I don't have money to give this guy. The only thing I could do is blackmail. I don't have any information to blackmail him for. So to get information on Bonnet, but he's actually already shared this information.
Right. So he's trying to be like, care about my feelings.
Yes. And so... It's not good news that MacDonald shares, as MacDonald shares, that everyone and their monkey's uncle knows that Jamie's put the word out. That's not good. But, and then of course, it assures Bonnet knows, you know that. But what is good, or at least better than if it had been the other way around, it is good that no one knows the reason Jamie's put the word out. I mean, except now, of course, MacDonald knows. So, MacDonald mentions a letter of introduction to Governor Tryon. And Jamie is relieved for now that he realizes that this is the price. Like, he's not asking for money. I mean, ultimately, he needs money to live on, right? Because, like, a half-pay soldier, he needs to find his work. Because there's no war right now, so he's not getting really much money, if much. And so he thinks if he can get in with Tryon, he'll at least have a chance to maybe have to get a post or get some kind of position with the military. And so Jamie's like, okay, so if that's the price right now, for now at least, like, that's something I can easily do. And Jamie's like, done. It'll be done by this afternoon. And then Jamie sees Duncan, and he's not well. He doesn't look very well. And Duncan needs to chat with himself, meaning Jamie, about his wedding night.
I'm so concerned because this was the end of the chapter and I was like, but wait, what did he mean?
I know you're like, what?
Which made me feel like when we were listening that I was like, maybe we should have pushed through chapter 41 because now I want to know.
Erica B. closes this out with, finally, we get an appearance by Jamie and he rescues Claire from Wiley and his lovely horses. Thank goodness. Apparently, he disappeared hunting for Duncan who has been hiding out somewhere at the end of this section. He is thought to be spotted in or near a willow tree. What's amusing about this section is hearing about how distracted Jamie is with his desires. This is what Summer was talking about. We often don't get his POV in this way, and I felt it a bit amusing to read. That's a very interesting observation, Erica.
But it's really noticeable when it is, because
very much so.
Right? Because it's so, because of him.
It's so different.
Because his chapters are the only chapters that describe Claire's bosom. Other than that, because like you get the third person when we go from Brianna's point of view or from Roger's. But a lot of the books are 100% from Claire's, which is a completely different experience. So when you do get a chapter that's from Jamie, you get to see Claire the way that Claire sees Jamie. So I enjoy these chapters a lot, or these moments in the chapters. It's not a full chapter.
And finally, Jamie's meeting with McDonald, Erica says, under the willow, Erica says, and later near the paddock, proved fruitful for Jamie. He's able to learn some information regarding Bonnet, which may be helpful at some point later in the story. Jamie does end up running into Duncan near the row of porta potties, and he is not well.
As you do.
They get to a more private area to learn what it is, and we are left with a mild mini cliffhanger.
Full disclosure, you said row of porta potties, yep. And I 100% had in my vision the where do we have the leaving dinner this year?
Oh, Hopeton
from last year when they were prepping for that concert, and there was like 400 porta potties lined up in front of both sides of this manor house. It was amazing. And that was chapter 39. Join us next time when we will be discussing four chapters, starting with chapter 40, entitled Duncan's Secrets, chapter 41, entitled Music Hath Charms, chapter 42, entitled The Diesel Charm, chapter 43, entitled Flirtations, and chapter 44, entitled Private Parts. We got lots of chapters and lots of pages. Actually, it's only...
And it sounds like we got lots of D, too.
We have all the D. And we have 30 pages. So...
Woohoo!
I know, 30 pages! Woohoo! This last week, we had 24 with one chapter. So Diana is amazing for spending 2 pages on one chapter and then 24 on the next. So...
We invite you to support us on Patreon. You can find out more about how to do that at patreon.com/outlanderpod. And thank you to our newest supporters on Patreon. We got a few of you guys very recently, and we're very, very thankful. Thank you guys so much. And of course, we would love to have you join us, continue the conversation in our Facebook community. And you can find us at outlanderpod.com/group. So thank you guys, as always, so much for listening. We look forward to our next episode. Thank you to our generous partner, Zencastr, who offers high-fidelity podcasting. Check out Zencastr and use coupon code OUTLANDER20, OUTLANDER20, for 20% off 3 months or 20% off for a year. Connect with us. Visit our website at outlanderpod.com. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/outlanderpod. We'd love for you to join our Facebook community at outlanderpod.com/group. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at outlanderpod.